Cool. It's all wintry, isn't it? Everyone's pale and like, what's going on?
Bayern Munich are 7-1 now.
Hello?
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
Are you not watching this delightful Chelsea performance?
No, no, I'm not. I've got soccer, you know, the soccer special on, just all the goals. So, I'm only in the door.
What channel is that then that shows all the goals?
401. Sky Sports News.
Do they show the goals going in?
Show the Champions League goals.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know that.
Yeah.
Oh,
there's a goal now. There's Derby's goal.
Oh, what's that?
Yeah.
How exciting.
Yeah.
So the old winter weather's creeping in, isn't it?
Oh, I know, mate. I know. It's freezing. I'm just in the door 20 minutes, stand down at his football training. So
did
it's cold.
Did you wear that top I bought you?
Yeah, I've got the Under Armour on.
There you go. Look at us. We're looking so pale.
I know. I don't know. It must be a bright light.
Still good looking, though.
Oh, well, of course.
Yeah, welcome to a brand new Hotspurs podcast. It is the 21st of October 2014, Tuesday in fact. And we've got Colin in Northern Ireland. How are you doing, Cole?
Yeah, doing good, mate, doing good.
Excellent, and I'm Steve. So, first question, what are you doing for half-term next week?
Nothing, unfortunately, probably working as usual. Unfortunately, yeah, we're not all school teachers.
Get it right. Yeah. I'll be the one doing nothing.
Of course you are. We're not all school teachers, mate. You know, you're probably, you know, we don't get, 9 weeks a year or whatever it is off.
13.
All right. Okay.
No, but, we're planning for the, you know, teaching the children of the future.
Yeah.
Anyway, Spurs, Man City, go.
Oh, well, look, it wasn't really probably a surprising result. I think we said in our last show a few weeks ago, you know, for us all not to expect too much out of it. You know, I sort of want to maybe try and take a bit of a positive out of the game. I think we performed a lot better than what I probably thought we would have. You know, we definitely had a lot more clear-cut chances. And, you know, if you jump ahead, I know City had missed that penalty to go 3-1 up, but we had a massive chance with Soldado with the penalty to go 2-2, and I think if that goal had went in, it would have been a different game. We might have even sneaked it or maybe pulled a draw out of the bag there. But disappointing, you know, because these are the games that, you know, that we're wanting now to be closer in, competing in. And yes, it's hard to, you know, compete against these guys when there's so much money and a lot of top world-class players in their teams. But like what you could say about Chelsea as well. But it's always going to be difficult for us at the minute until we possibly get the new stadium and we can start to maybe attract these better players with the bigger wages and things. But disappointing. But to me, and one thing I want to bring up tonight, we'll probably chat about later, is like the next 10 games. You know, we've got a run of games coming up here, bar maybe the likes of Chelsea. But, you know, these are all very, very winnable games for us. And this is really the start of our season, Steve. And this is where we've now got to go and show it. But I think the big thing for me that came out of City was we are lacking still so much up front. So we just don't have a cutting edge. We never look like we're going to score goals. And, you know, like I sat and watched even West Brom and Man United last night. And West Brom even looked up in the first half, especially Sessegnon and this young lad who I know we're linked with. You know, they just looked exciting. You know, there was movement. You know, it was great to watch, and we just don't look like it, Steve. What's your feelings?
Well, you know, well, that game as well, you know, obviously United have got Van Persie and Rooney and, you know, Di Maria and all these other guys that can get a goal as well. The game is, as I said last, you know, a couple of weeks ago, it's one of these games that I think the whole Chelsea Man City thing is coming to a head now, and As good as, you know, I think the Premier League is exciting and different things happening and that you still get the odd, you know, great result. The fact is that Man City and Chelsea are just, you know, essentially write off games because the amount of money that these two teams spend is just, incredible. And the players that they attract and, you know, you just look at it and go, well, what can you do? You know, the old Harry Redknapp excuse, what can you do? But saying that, you know, I've heard lots of people say that we played really well. We had a lot of chances. And you do look at things like that Ryan Mason chance and you go, well, you know, if that goes in, you know, what where do we go from there? Or, you know, Soldado having the penalty, he puts that in. Okay, we probably lose 3-2 or 4-2, but, you know, that's a really respectable result. You know, 4-1 again in the history of things looks a bad result, and an acceptable result. You know, no matter which way you look at it, with the amount of money we spend even on players and the fact that we've got hardly any injuries. You know, there's no excuses. Funny old team selection with a couple of players that you sort of go, well, you know, wait there, why isn't Vertonghen playing? You know, Fazio is a guy that, you know, we knew nothing about. He's played one or two games, so, you know, let's not judge him yet. But, you know, against Sergio Aguero, you play someone that is class, don't you? Who's up for the challenge. And that's Vertonghen. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting a little bit tired of this now. I'm getting a little bit tired of all this, he doesn't want to play for us. And not just for Tongan, but a lot of these guys. You know, he, unless they come out and actually say it, you know, I want to move, then, you know, it's all speculation. And you can look at body language and what have you. You can't worry yourself about all this sort of stuff. You know, players at Tottenham, you know, especially players like Jan Vertonghen, of course they want to play for Real Madrid and Barcelona. Of course they do. Take it as a given. You know, but what they're not saying, do you remember when we used to lose players to Middlesbrough? Right? So we had a guy there, Nick Barmby, great little player. He was like, I want to move. He wanted to move to Middlesbrough. Stevie Carr, one of our best right backs in the last 20 years, he wanted to move and he went to Newcastle. You know, we're not losing players to these teams anymore. We're now losing players to the creme de la creme, okay? The best of the best. And that's all right. So if Jan Vertonghen wants to go to Bayern Munich or wherever, that's, you know, you just have to accept it. But in the meantime, you have to play him because he's our exactly. best central defender. And get
what
over
was
it.
That? Yeah, what was that? I was going to bring that up as well, Steve. What was that about? You know, why was he not starting?
I know. And, you know, and all that, what I'm saying is, if he comes out and actually says, I want to go to Barcelona, then you start going, well, wait there. But, you know, it's a given that he obviously, you know, he's not signed a new contract because he wants to make it easier for a transfer at some point. Okay, fine. Right. You're against, I don't know why he didn't start. Was it he's injured or something? I don't know. You know, I don't know.
Injured, he surely shouldn't be on
well,
the bench.
He came on, didn't he? How did he do when he came on? I don't know. I don't really know. I mean, I was like disinterested after by that time. But, you know, you're playing against Sergio Aguero, who's the best player in the league by a million miles. So, you know, you've got to put someone on him who's class, who's up for the battle. I mean, Fazio, we just don't know. In a couple of years, he might be tremendous. But, you know, just think about the big old lump at Arsenal who came in and for the first season was awful, wasn't he? And, he's brilliant, been brilliant for them for the last season or two. So, you know, he's a big fella who might adapt, who might get pretty good. But you can't just, write people off. But for this game, my goodness, you go and say, you know, go on then, Jan, pit your wits against Aguero. And you know what? If you keep him quiet, you'll probably get your move to Barcelona in the summer. That's the way I'd approach it.
Yeah. Well, you're right. I know I mentioned Fazio 2 weeks ago, and I mentioned on the show that I was worried about him. And I know that he needs time to settle in, and I don't want to judge him too quickly, but I was worried about his pace. And you know, the sending off is a massive example of what I was worried about. If you watch that again, you look at him and he can see that Aguero's gone, and it still takes him 3 to 4 seconds to actually react, to even get into his stride of starting to run back. And he was just so far behind him, and it was such a stupid thing to do, because the ball quite easily could have been cleared. There was two Spurs defenders in front of the cross, you know, or it comes across and it misses him. But to pull him down, to know that you're going to get a red card to give away another penalty in the game, was just crazy. But the Vertonghen thing was a massive frustration. The rest of the team, I think, went, you know, obviously the rumour is Adebayor only got back on Friday from his game out in Africa. Right. And I'm sitting going again, you know, why is this guy only getting back on Friday? Everybody else is back on Wednesday or even Thursday at the latest. Why is he not back to Friday?
Well, we don't know, do we? So let's not say, you know, oh, it's, you know, I know what you're implying there. You're implying that he's had a little, you know, trip home, maybe he hasn't. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can get back till then.
That's it. But, you know, I think he was the only one that wasn't in the starting lineup, what I thought would have been. And obviously Soldado got his chance, and I think there's questions later on from a few people, you know, but.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Let's not focus on why Adebayor wasn't in the side. Let's focus on Soldado, because he played. What are your thoughts on him?
And, you know, he's getting absolutely slated, obviously, because he missed the penalty. And the one thing we know that he is good at is penalties. So there was a big shock. But, you know, he didn't do a lot in the game, but he set up it was his pass for Mason for the first chance. It was a fantastic pass. I thought he'd done okay. I think the goal, he didn't look confident, you know, for the penalty. He just didn't look right getting up to it. But it's just one of these things with him. I just don't know, Stephen. To be honest, I know he got a lot of stick after it. And to be honest, I sort of felt after the game as well on Saturday night going, you know what, is this guy really ever going to do it? Is he the new Rebroth? And that's just the way I feel. And personally, I just can't see this guy making the grade with a Steve.
They're similar, aren't they? Because they've got, you know, they've got a similar way they play.
Yeah.
You know, they've got a touch of class. You know what I mean? When the ball comes to them, they can cushion it, they can lay it off. But are they in the game enough? Are they involved? Yeah. Are they hungry enough to score goals? I mean, Lineker had a great touch. And he was hardly in the game, but he had an absolute hunger to get in the box and score goals. And Michael Owen, in his early career, did the same. You know, he was like, I just want to score goals. And it was only towards the end of Owen's career when he thought, well, everyone else is changing their game to come back again, that he lost his way. You know, and Defoe, you know, he just wanted to score goals. And again, Defoe is someone that I thought when he just wanted to score goals, he was great. When he started to come in, play and try and create things, you know, no. Get yourself in the box and get yourself scoring. And that's what Soldado needs to do. Just play off that front man and do everything he can to get on the score sheet. You know, there's what are your thoughts on that? I mean, you know.
Yeah, look, I just, honestly, my honest opinion is I just don't think he's going to make it, Steve. I really don't. I think, you know, people say he hasn't had a lot of time either, but I just can't see him work. I just don't think he's the right player. That's one thing I want to bring up tonight is in this transfer window, and I know it's going to be difficult. We've been crying about it for the last 3, 4, maybe even 5 years that we need top strikers. But we need to go out and buy at least two new strikers. That is what we need.
You reckon?
You know, end of story.
Who? I don't know.
I'll have a think about that. What I just want to see some pace.
Don't say Boney, because Boney.
I wouldn't even bring him in. Steve, do you know what I want to see? I want to see pace and strength movement.
Yeah.
You know, and there has to be guys. You know, there's a guy there, Huntelaar. This guy's been talked about for a while. You know, with a lot of Premier League clubs, surely, you know, we can put a bit in there for the likes of a Huntelaar. I don't know. I like the guy from West Brom. Is it Berino?
Yeah, but he's just moved there, hasn't he?
No, he's an England under 21 international. He's been there, I think, for a while. But do you know what he reminded me of last night? A young Jermaine Defoe.
You sound like Louis Walsh.
Is that what I sound like? You know, but that's what he was like. That's what he was like last night, Dan. But what I liked about him, he had pace, he looked exciting, he was willing to take a shot on.
Yeah, but that's one game though, Cohen, isn't it? Is that one game?
No, he scored every game for West Brom and he's banging them in every game for England under 21s. Okay. Tim and Harry Kane are doing the business for England.
Harry Kane.
But, you know, we want to see. Here, that's another thing. Give Harry Kane a run.
You reckon?
Harry Kane has done nothing wrong for us.
Well,
every time I see Harry Kane, Steve, playing in the Europa games or whatever, I like him. I like something about him. I tell you what, I think he's scored more goals than Soldado anyhow.
I think he's bang average.
No, I disagree with you. I think he's got something. He's got something different about him. He's big, he's physical. I put him in instead of Soldado all day long at the minute, so
would. Well, I'm not sure about that.
100%. Well, we'll see. We'll put it out there. The listeners can tweet us about it or stick on Facebook to see if they agree with us. But, you know, it's something, Steve, it needs addressed. And
I think
we're all sick of talking about it because we've been saying it since Harry Redknapp. The year that he bought or he got Ryan Nelson and Louis Saha was the first sort of big transfer window where we were ready to go, right, all we need is strikers. That's all we need. And we're still saying it since then.
Well, there isn't anybody, is there? I mean, people go, right, okay, you got, I ask the question and they go, ah, it's Benteke. Has he even played this season?
No, I think he's only back.
Right.
He's only back.
Oh, we should have got Lukaku. Well, sorry, but Everton fans moan constantly about Lukaku. And then it's Boney. And I watched Boney for Swansea against Stoke. And do you know what he looked like? He looked like a typical Tottenham striker. Someone who looks a bit class, then does not get in the game and all this. You know, so I don't think he's the answer. Who's some of the other names that come up all the time?
I don't know. Obviously, you know, there was talk of, we chatted about Demba Ba.
Demba Ba is another one, yeah.
But you know what frustrates the life out of me? I look at the likes of this guy who went to Southampton as a Pele.
Yeah.
He looks pure class. I guarantee you, but if he had went to Spurs, he'd be an absolute tube.
And I was watching tonight the old this Champions League build-up thing, and they had Ronald Koeman, who spoke absolutely fantastically. And I was talking to this other guy about this whole thing that we got Pochettino. And as soon as we got Pochettino, it was like, great, we've got a good manager there. And they went and got Ronald Koeman. And it was like, well, hang on.
I know, yeah. I know.
It's like nicking your mate's great girlfriend and going, I've nicked your girlfriend. And then he goes and gets like this supermodel. And you're like, wow, hang on.
Well, look, we sort of went round the houses a bit there. We'll just finish off the game. And then I want to talk about Pochettino because just a couple of incidents in the game. Like, first of all, their penalty, Steve, with Lampard, you know, not a penalty. Definitely not a penalty in my eyes. But he went down, of course, they got it, scored the goal. We've done great to get back into it. Then the next penalty, Kabul. What's he thinking about? What is he thinking about? And there he was against Arsenal. He was brilliant. And he was back to the usual Kabul again. Another penalty. You know, we had a couple of our penalty. I think Soldado was just outside the box. So we were probably fortunate getting that as well. But, you know, there was a lot of those things, and we always said we never seem to get that wee slice of luck. So we don't. But I think, you know, it could have been a better scoreline, and we were probably unfortunate, but we need to take positives out of it. Ryan Mason, I thought, had another really strong game for us. Really like the look of this kid. I think he's getting better and better. But, again, I think we're just lacking. Lamella, everybody knows, I'm going to give him time. I love him, but he still just hasn't hit the ground running. But
it's eight games now, Carl. Eight games.
Well, we've got I said to you after Christmas, and then he'll start winning games for us. So we shall see then. But one thing I'm happy about is, Steve, he's still playing him.
Yeah.
You know, he's getting him. He's still got him there because there's no point not playing this kid. I think, you know, we need to see him every week. But
and it's his first season. Let's not remember. He played three games last season. Yeah. So it's his first season, so you've got to give him time and what have you. There's players waiting there though to come in.
Yeah, that's
you
it.
Know, when you think about Lennon, you know, alright, he's not, go on mate, what was you going to say?
No, it's fine.
No, I was going to say, like, Lennon, you know, he's not been given a chance yet. Yeah. Townsend's not been given a chance in the Premier League yet. You've got, you know, other guys that haven't come into the Premier League side yet. Who?
Like where was Stan, really?
Exactly. You've got Paulinho, who hasn't played in the Premier League yet. So, you know, we've seen in the Europa Cup, and I know I've had a bit of debate with people, you know, saying about the Europa Cup with regards to whether you can judge players in that. It's difficult. I don't know whether you can or you can't judge players in that. I don't know their frame of mind. All I know is that we're playing a team tomorrow night, or Thursday night, that have got a capacity at the ground of 8,000 people. And you're asking a guy that's just played in the World Cup to go out and play in this when they've just watched all these other sides playing Tuesday and Wednesday in the Champions League, and they're supposed to be motivated to go out. And of course they should be motivated. Of course they should. But the reality is they're on 80,000 pounds a week, maybe more, and they've got a model girlfriend at home. You know, and you're saying go out and play against his side and play well. I can see their mentality. Do you know what I mean, Cole?
Yeah.
Whereas me and you, you know, we give our right arm to play for Tottenham.
Yeah.
I'm not sure these guys from Brazil or these guys from wherever they're from, even if they're from up the road, up in Leeds or wherever they're from, want to play against the side on Thursday. You know, or a couple of weeks ago, and give it their all in front of 20,000 people at Tottenham, when all you've really got is a little pocket of fans who are wonderful, the 1882 guys who are singing, and when they score a goal, they get a little round of applause. Yeah, it's so hard.
It's so hard.
And I know that, you know, guys all who watch this game at all in America and wherever they are, and they're thinking, you know, get behind the lads and Europa Cup and here we go. It's tough until
you get to that later.
It's hard to know what's going on in their minds. But, you know, we've got to do something. We've got to sort this out. How are we going to sort this out?
Well, that's the thing, and we'll move on to it, so we will now, because I put a post on the Facebook page of the next 10 fixtures. And, you know, it's a massive run for us. I can't remember them all because I'm using my phone here. I can't get on just to see them.
Well, we'll do the run, Carl. I just want to say about that Man City game, just a couple of notes I've written down here, that I did send a tweet out to say, listen, guys, can you tell me the last time we got a controversial win against the top four side? Somebody came back with the Man United game last year, but of course Man United finished seventh, so that wasn't one. And the other one, somebody said, Gerard Chapman said about the handball when Van der Vaart handballed it and we beat Arsenal. And again, it's like, well, most people listen to this will go, well, when was that? When did he did that? I mean, it wasn't, you know, it was a little decision. I'm talking about a major controversial game where the referee was absolutely atrocious and we got the win. And I just can't think of any in the last 20-25 years that we've played a top four side and got an absolutely controversial, atrocious win where our manager's going, yes, well, we deserved it. We're going, yeah, right. And the opposition manager is doing their nut, going, the referee's awful, da da da. Cole, top of your head, last 20 years, a controversial win against the top four side.
I can't think of one.
Can't think of one, right?
Yeah, George, right, probably that you one know, would be, but
yeah,
know what
well,
you
I mean.
It's like they get two players sent off and we get two penalties and whatever. Yeah, I know what you mean, but no, I can't think of anything.
But then the other thing I was going to say about the Man City game is that, and I've said this before as well, 50-50 decisions. You know, like, I referee kids football, and if a team's 3-0 up, or I know a team's particularly good playing against another team, then, you know, if there's a little 50-50 going on, I think, oh, do you know what? I'll give it to the side that's 3-0 down. Do you know what I mean? Just because it's, I'm just thinking that way. And referees have got to think that way. It's an entertainment business. You can't just go, right, City are 2-1 up, it's at City. City have got, have spent £500 million in the last 3 or 4 years. They're playing against Spurs, who have never had any luck, haven't won anything for years. And Fazio has just pulled someone back with half an hour to go in the game. I know what, although it's a 50-50 decision, I'll give it to Man City. I cannot think why they do that. Apart from the fact, because you know, and
are you talking about him being sent off?
Well, yeah.
It was a penalty.
It was a penalty, definitely. But he's gone. Oh, it's a sending off as well. And I'm not just talking about this game. I'm talking about so many times, and it links to the controversial decisions that you know at Wembley the other year with Chelsea. You know, it's a 50-50. Did it cross the line? Didn't it cross the line? Oh, I'm going to give it to Chelsea, even though they're 1-0 up. Even though they're playing against Tottenham, even though they've got millions of quid, I'm going to give the decision to Chelsea. And it just frustrates me. And don't get me wrong, I know we get loads of decisions when we play a lower side as well. I think, who was that European team we played last year? And Vertonghen went down in a heap, you know? Yeah. And we got that decision. And again, it's wrong. He should have looked at that and gone, do you know what? I didn't actually see it. Vertonghen's gone down in a heap. Let's give it to the lower side. You know, and I know people listen to this and go, well, what are you talking about? You can't just give, you know, I'm talking about 50-50 decisions. I'm not talking about decisions that are clear cut. You know, oh, don't give it. I'm talking about the 50-50 decisions where you go, oh, not sure. Give it to the lesser side. It's an entertainment business. That's all I'm saying. Yeah.
Unfortunately, anyway, it's just not always going to be like that there, and it's certainly just never going to be all the way.
Because it ruins the game. That's you know, they look at that and go, oh, do you know what? It's a 50-50 decision, but I'll give it to Man City, and that's the game ruined. And I didn't really watch it after that. Anyway, Carl, go on.
I know. But look, shall I do a quick fantasy football, and then I want to talk about the next lot of games?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you able to bring the fixtures up, Steve, in your computer?
Yeah, you do fantasy football and I'll do the fixtures.
You would get that there. Okay, yeah. Fantasy football. In first place is Chris Roberts. Then we have Neil Webb, Jeff Fiskus, Claire Hillman, Ulla Holtman, Colin Healy, Paul Burkett, Chris Peace, Nick Alexander and Kirk Fawtek. At the bottom of the league there we have Mason Joseph, Daniel Russo, Gemma Stubble still there, and Philip Caffey. Gemma's still getting her name read out. Steve, you have went up to...
Yeah, I know.
You've went up to 125th. I have dropped down to my worst position ever. I'm devastated, actually, to even read this out. I'm in 80th position. That is disgraceful. So it is. And the Spurs poet is even above me. He's up in the 72nd place. None of us are doing too well. I actually noticed our good friend Dan Jones is even well down there. I think Dan might even be below me. So it's a bit of a shocker. Then with the most points this week, with 117 points, is Neil Webb, who jumped up into second place. So brilliant score. Neil, I had a look at your team, and I might actually have to copy it. I still have my wild card, so I might just go and copy your team, mate. But obviously you had Mr. Aguero up front, and I think he had Pelé up front, and there was another guy from Southampton, forget his name, he got a lot of points this week, so some real big points scored. But a good week of fantasy football, keep it up guys. I am going to use my wild card, Steve.
Are you?
I'm going to do it tomorrow. I'm going to sit down, I'm going to really study it, and I'm going to change about 9 players.
Because you know you can only have 3 Spurs players. Do you have to have your 3, or do you actually go, well, do you know what, I'm not even going to do that?
Well, would you believe it, for the first time ever, I actually have none on my team.
Ah, oh, so you've completely and utterly...
Do you know why I've done it? Because I had Adebayor...
you want to win?
I want to win, yeah. No, I had Adebayor in, and I just felt, right, I'm scudding this guy. I would be a wee bit like that there, be a wee bit superstitious. And I had Lamella in every week, and I took them out over the... I just went, right, I've put the scud on them, being in my fantasy team.
I'm going to take them out. But I say, I'm making my nine changes and there's going to be a couple of Spurs players come back. I'm going to put Lloris in nets, actually.
Yeah.
So I'm going to stick him in the nets.
And
I don't know who else I'm going to stick in. I might stick
in. For people who don't know what Cullen's saying there, by the way, it's, he's going to put Lloris in goal.
Oh, yes, in goal. In nets.
And if you're from up actually, north, it's in goals.
Yes. Do you know who I might put in? Harry Kane.
Really?
I might stick Harry Kane in it.
They don't count Europa League.
He might. Oh, yeah. I think he might get a wee run out here against Newcastle. We'll see. We'll see. Okay.
Well, I hope he doesn't, because I don't want to see Harry Kane. Who wants to see Harry Kane in the side? God, not Harry Kane.
Yeah,
Harry Kane against Newcastle? No way. Did you see what I'm doing there?
Brilliant. Good. Reverse psychology. I like it.
And actually, I don't like the impression I just did. I'm going to edit that impression out. Anyway.
Right, on what I want to talk about, and yourself, obviously, Mr. Pochettino.
I thought we were going to do the next 10 fixtures.
Yeah, that's why we're coming into it. What
right,
are
do you
the,
know what
read out the next 10 games.
Right, okay, so let's do little predictions here. Newcastle.
We're going to win.
I think we're going to win that. Aston Villa away.
We're going to win.
That's on the telly. We'll win that. Stoke at home.
We'll win.
I can see a draw with that one. Hull away.
I can see a draw.
Everton at home.
I think we'll just squeeze past them because hopefully we'll be on a good run by then.
I think they'll nick that. Chelsea, away.
Lose.
Crystal Palace at home.
We'll win.
We'll win that. Swansea away.
We'll lose.
I think we'll win that. I think Swansea will be... I think they'll be on the downward then. Because I think they've started really well. And I think... By that time, there'll be a lot of injuries, and I think they'll be in the death. And then Burnley at home.
We'll win. But that's what I want to say.
Yeah.
These are the game. See, especially the next four, Steve. We have to take a minimum of 10 points out of these next four games, which is Newcastle, Villa,
Stoke,
Hull. And Hull.
Yeah.
These are the big four, and what I wanted to say, and I know that we have said from the beginning we're going to give this manager time, and we are going to give him time. I know that's what I want to do, but my worry is if we don't get good results, Steve, in these next four games.
Yeah.
Honestly, and I'm just putting it out there, I think this guy's going to be under pressure.
Would you take Newcastle, Aston Villa, Stoke, Hull, and Everton? They're our next five games. Would you take 5 points from those games to beat Chelsea away?
No.
I would.
Would you?
Yeah.
No chance, 5 points.
Beat Chelsea away. I'd love that.
No. We'll win those five games with 15 points. Plus, we'll be in big confidence boost. But
so no, you want to lose to Chelsea? My goodness.
I'd win the next five and lose to Chelsea. No problem. But no, I think... My worry for him, I really do worry about it, Steve, is if we don't get the results here, that I honestly think this guy's going to be under pressure. And I know this might shock a few people listening tonight to think that we're already talking that way.
But we're not saying we want him out. We're just saying that he's under pressure.
Yeah, if we don't get these results, Steve, we are majorly because Chelsea coming up.
Yeah, but would you want him out?
If we don't win at least two of them, yeah.
But what if he picks a, you know, the sort of side that you look, because he'll always pick Lamella, right? And he's your boy, you know.
I just worry that I don't know. I can't put my finger on it, and I'm trying to be as honest as possible.
It's because he needs time, isn't it?
He does, but. I think just the way, I just don't think we've played well.
That's because he needs time.
Stop you trying to be controversial as usual.
I'm saying that he needs time. So what he's going to do is he doesn't know his best side, and none of us do, because Carl, me and you will go through this right now, or we won't because it'll take too long. But if we chose our side for Thursday and our side for Sunday, it would be vastly different, and we'd put this player and that player, and we'd debate it and da 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 like we do every week. And he's presumably doing the same.
Yeah.
And you just got to think, well, he's getting it wrong, he's making that wrong, he's doing that wrong. But if he learns from his mistakes, and that's a mistake that Levy's made, you know? What if we had Joel still in charge? What if we still had George Graham? Who I'm sorry, but everybody subsequently, I listened to that Darren Anderton interview, he did from My Sporting Life.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing he said to him was he said he was great because he was a winner.
Yeah.
And he said he got the best out of Ginola. And do you know what? Absolutely right.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, I listened to that myself.
Towards the end, he was boring and it was rubbish. But you got to say that, I'm not saying George Graham per se, but I'm saying that these managers, we do not give them any time. We do not give them any room to make a mistake. And we go 6 games, 8 games, half a season, and then we just go, oh, this guy's useless. Get him out.
Yeah. And that's where I'm coming from tonight. So please don't get me wrong thinking that I don't want to give him time and that I will want them definitely out. But my worry of it is, at the minute, if we don't get good results, especially in the next 4 games, to me, out of the next 10, 8 are very winnable. You know, I honestly believe, Steve, that the crowd will turn. And,
yeah, I know.
And we said at the start of the season, like, we've got to give them time, and we don't want to turn on this guy. But I think there's already a rumbling there. I think there is. You know, if you look at Twitter, and I know you can't always go by Twitter and by Facebook and things, but I think there's rumblings there that people are worried. And I think it comes down to, I just don't think the football's exciting. I think it's very negative. Do you know what I was expecting, Steve? I was expecting us, do you know this, the talk about, you know, the fitness regime that he puts these guys through. And if you look at Southampton last year, the way they worked so hard for each other and they closed the ball down and they were always pressing other teams.
Hmm.
That's what I was expecting us to see. And if you think about it, we actually done that in pre-season. If you think of some of our pre-season games, and I know some of them are maybe out playing, you know, teams in America and maybe a few other lesser teams, but the way we closed the ball down in those pre-season games and the quick, fast football, think of Soldado and Lamella. We were all raving in the summer going, look at these guys linking well together that became best mates.
Yeah.
You know, they were looking super. Since the league started, we haven't done it.
Yeah.
We haven't done it once.
Which manager last season got 2 wins out of Pochettino?
Against them?
Yeah, so which team beat them twice? So which manager?
Tim Sherwood.
Correct. And we hated him from day one, not us, yeah. Me and you, but the Spurs. That's the thing. But it's, you know, it's weird. Let me ask you a question. Would you have Harry back?
No. No, I wouldn't now.
So Harry stepped in, right? So let's say we lose against Newcastle, right? 2-0. Absolutely awful performance, okay? And then you flick on your Sky News on Monday morning and it says, Harry Redknapp has been offered the job back, right? And he's accepted.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you feel?
I loved Harry. I was talking to a guy the other day about it, and it's the best football I remember.
Don't you think he'd come in and just go, right, you, buck your ideas up.
Yeah,
you come and work with my Flair, you know, you're the Flair guys over here. Because you remember when he came in, and I honestly think that Modric, he was the making of Modric, because he came in, didn't he? And Modric was very lightweight, not doing very much. And he came in and just, in his first press conference, says, well, I've got a player in that Luka Modric. Cool, what a player he is.
Yeah.
And then Jamie Redknapp was on Sky talking about, you know, my dad really likes this Croatian fella and all this. And he was just absolutely fantastic. So, you know, if you come in with someone like Lamella and just go, well, I've been watching this Lamella kid and he's absolutely out of this world. When have you ever heard Pochettino say that?
Yeah.
About Ericsson,
yeah.
Or about anybody else.
I know what you're saying about Harry. Everybody knows we loved Harry the way done, but you know, Steve, did you not expect us to be close? Like, you go to the games,
Yeah.
And you watch it live, and it's such a different game to be there live, to watch, you know, watch the game. Did you not expect to see us be a lot quicker around the pitch, closing people in, you know, in people's faces? That's what I expected to see, and we're not seeing it.
Yeah, I expected something different, and at the moment it's the same. It's the same, same. You know, it's a slight improvement on Tim Sherwood. But apart from that, there isn't any improvement in terms of an all-round team performance.
Yeah, and you know that's what I'm saying. I think we all expected to see something majorly different. And I know it's only a few games in, and it maybe sounds a bit harsh, but I really did expect. I think it was a player come out the other day, and he said about the training regime. I think it was maybe Danny Rose. It was mentioned about, you know, the Man City game, and about, yeah, like, this guy trains us so hard, and we're feeling the, you know, the difference and the benefits of this. And that's what I expected to see, Steve. And that's why whenever he got the job, I was actually quite excited about it at the thought of this. And pre-season was the example. And I thought that's the way we're going to go. But I don't know whether is it maybe because he now has such a big squad at Southampton. When you think, I think it was Jason actually, that Jason McGovern had made this point one time on our Facebook, was that when he was at Southampton, he only had a nucleus of maybe, say, 18 players to work with.
Yeah.
And, you know, he got well in with these guys, and he got them all working so hard. Now, really, when you think about it, he's working probably with 28, 29 top players.
And think about the players. Think about that first team he started with. I mean, he started with Bentaleb.
Yeah,
you know, where's he
Dar
gone?
Yeah,
where's he gone? And then he made a couple of decisions here and there, and you know, obviously he's gone with Adebayor for the majority of games, but now he's brought Sardado in, but you know, that for me, that central midfield role is our biggest area, because that's where it all stems from. That's where the creativity stems from. That's where, you know, you've got that spine of the team. And like I said to you last week, a couple of weeks ago, you know, if you just pick Sandro instead of Capu for those first three games, then you've got a guy that probably would have hit the ground running, like Capu did, and did really well, particularly against QPR, and could have solidified his place. And it would have been Capu who would have gone to QPR. And then we have Sandro. Now, I know that he's injured and all that sort of business, but, you know, I'm just looking at the player, and now people are saying Capu isn't good enough, and I'm not sure. You know,
it's so difficult, Steve, and it really is. And I know this show's maybe went a wee bit downbeat, and everybody, you know, now we're sort of worried about things.
Well, we just lost. It's all right to be downbeat.
Yeah, it is, and I think everybody feels, I think that's the big problem. Everybody feels this way, and I do think it's maybe that this guy has too many players and too many positions. But you're right about a midfield. But if you look at the midfielders we have, we've got class there. You know, even if you look at Townsend and you look at Lennon, that could really be brought into this team to inject, you know, some pace into it. But my, again, going back to the start of the show, my worry is we just don't have those forward players to link in with these guys. And I can't put my finger on who the right guys are, but it's something that needs to be addressed. I also would like to see him maybe go with, sort of pick what he thinks is a 16 and go with them here for 4 or 5 weeks, even if that means Europa League and in the league. Get this team playing regularly, week in, week out, especially maybe whenever we're at home. And, you know, you can look at these games, because we win tomorrow night, we're more likely going to qualify. Use these games then coming up as like a pre-game for that weekend coming up, especially when we're at home at White Hart Lane and we're home again that weekend. You know, give it, like, this is our team, we're going out, almost like it's a practice game. This is what I want you to do. And a bit like what he done at Southampton, drill it into these 16 players. Use are in this squad, use of the 16, you've got to stay in it. And the rest of the guys, you know, you'll get, if the chance comes up, get in, take it, and work with them and get us some stability. Because, as you said earlier, we can never pick the same, like, me and you can't pick the same team for this Sunday.
No.
Because for all we know, Stambouli could have a wonder game on Thursday night and he could be playing on Sunday.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden Mason could be on the bench. You know, we just don't know. Ben, yeah. There's another one I said to my son yesterday. I actually forgot his name. I said, what did you call that left back that we signed? Ben Davies.
Hmm.
I know nothing about the guy.
Nah, I have no idea if he's any good or not.
Yeah, we have no idea. No idea.
Because we don't judge people on Europa. I know some people do. Timmy Ryan asks a question. Why have we not signed a striker? We've kind of addressed that. We should have done.
But he's right what he's asking. Yeah, we should have done. Yeah. But we should have done it 4 years ago.
Yeah. Marcus Aurelius. Aren't we all... No, this is all about... he was asking when the next show was. So anyway, there you go. Ricky Pluck, when you think of the past great strike partnerships Spurs have had, should we always play two up front? Oh, yes, that is my preferred. You know, Man United played 4-4-2 under Fergie for years and years and years until his last two or three seasons. He always played 4-4-2 in Europe. Against all the other sides, he played all these different ways. He always played 4-4-2. And just look where they got. So I would always play 4-4-2. And Adebayor and Soldado, just, to me, is a no-brainer.
Yeah, I agree.
Tall guy, short guy.
Yeah. And especially at home, especially at White Hart Lane. But unfortunately, what has happened since, as you're right about Fergie, and then over the last 3 or 4 years, what happens as usual is Barcelona all of a sudden, ticky-tacky football, this is the way it should be. Now Germany won the World Cup the way they played. This is how it should be. Nobody's talking about Barcelona anymore. And unfortunately, a lot of these European coaches think this is the way it goes. And I don't think we're going to see 4-4-2, Steve. I really don't, but
yeah.
I would prefer to see it. But that's when you think the 4-4-2, that's when you need the two quick wingers. You know, with Bale on the left, Lennon on the right. You know, that's what you need to see. We don't have that.
Well, yes, we have. We've got Lennon, we've got Townsend, we've got Lamella.
He's not going to play them on the wings the way they were. I think, do you know another player, actually, just thinking that I think we are missing, is Walker.
Yeah, Walker could play as a winger. Danny Rose could play as a winger. If Ben Davies goes back, we've got plenty of players to play there.
Yeah.
As a guy travelling, this is Marcus Aurelius again. As a guy travelling across the pond, I suppose that means the Irish Sea, for matches, what has been your favourite match day memory?
Oh.
Make it quick, Carl, because we've got a load of these.
Okay, Arsenal. When I come over to my first ever Arsenal game with you, Steve.
Yeah?
I'm a beating 2-1. Remember Bale and Lennon scored?
That's it, yeah.
And that's my best game I've ever beaten.
Two wingers in a 4-4-2.
Yeah, and it was the best experience ever. To experience my first North London derby and just everything that went with it and the win, it was unreal. Never forget it. And I was with the Spurs poet. The two of us were there for 3 days. We had some crack.
So Paxton Coatsy says, who should we start up front against Newcastle? Presuming that he will only play one, who would you go for?
Harry Kane.
So who are you playing against this
I wouldn't
soppy side on Thursday?
I'd play Harry Kane on Thursday, and if he does well, I'd start him on Sunday.
So Adebayor's that bad that you're not even going to play him at all?
Yeah, put him on the bench.
All right.
Put him on the bench.
All right. Bryce Eddy.
Who are you going for?
Adebayor. Bryce Eddy, which position needs the most strengthening? What's the future hold for Lennon, who kind of plateaued? Lennon, you know, this is a long question. We'll definitely discuss that again. You know, we've dipped in and out of that.
Will they answer it there just quickly? We need to strengthen up front.
Andy Goldberg, please give us an update that the Facebook page is going great with some great debates and a few quizzes thrown in so thus far. Andy Goldberg there, promoting our Facebook page. Well done, Andy.
Yeah.
And some great debates, even if he does so to himself. He's doing a great job. It's great, isn't it? He's a good old boy, and Graham was great last time, and Andy's good doing it this year.
One thing about Andy said, had a wee dig at me the other day on Facebook.
Good, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, because I said that I was going to, when I put up the fixtures, I said, you know, I'll be praying. And he says, you know, he had a bit of a dig at me. Andy, don't have a dig at me, mate. people are only meant to have digs at Steve. That's what Steve's here for.
That's right. So you got Terry Hill. Colin, it must have been nice having long holidays and finishing at 3:30. Ha ha. Steve, yes. What subject do you teach? I'm a primary school teacher, so I teach everything. Very high level.
He teaches everything, and he's a football referee, we've just found out tonight. Yeah. Oh, I would love to see that.
Yeah.
He's the Graham Poole of the primary school leagues.
I am. Okay. No, I'm not, because I'm good. I'm like, who's that guy who used to give all the, he used to let the game run. He was a real ugly fella, but he was great. Martin Bodnam, I think his name was. And he just used to never give anything to anybody. Just kick lumps out of each other and just keep going. Brilliant. Who have we got here? So we're back on to this. So anything else to say for the Newcastle, just before I get these last few questions out of the way?
Yeah, just I think it's just it's a big game for us. You know, Newcastle, of course, have went and got their victory. So they will be about, you know, they'll be jumping about a wee bit about that. But like this should be a no-brainer. This should be, but like I said about the other games, we need an early goal, Steve. We need an early goal to get the crowd up for it.
Do you know what? It's different to playing a Stoke or a West Brom or a Wigan or whatever, because when we play a Newcastle, they've got superstars, haven't they? So they've kind of got Spurs players. Do you know what I mean?
They will have a go.
What I mean is they've got superstars who can't be bothered. Right, they haven't got a Ryan Shawcross. They haven't got, you know, they've got Colaccini. Now, does Colaccini really want to play for Newcastle, you know, down at Tottenham on a Sunday? No, he doesn't. He doesn't, does he? Sure, Ryan Shawcross would. Blimey, Ryan Shawcross wants to come and kick lumps out of everybody. But he doesn't want to be there. And all these midfielders they've got, they don't really want to be there. So I'm fully, fully expecting us to beat Newcastle. Yeah. Where's Johnson? Probably unpopular to say, but I thought Saturday was Soldado's best game. A great penalty. What do you guys think? Does he deserve a run against Newcastle? Maybe, I'm not sure, but there we go. Sasha Blythe, what do you think about the Soldado? So he's asking about Soldado as well. You know, I go for Adebayor every time, but I'd go against Newcastle, Adebayor and Soldado.
I just don't think
Harry Kane's good enough. Okay, I really don't.
I think Harry Kane's done quite well this season.
It's fine.
He's done really well for England.
I don't think he's a bad player. I just think he's bang average.
Yeah. Well, he's done very well for England under-21s. He seems to score every week as well for them.
Whenever they play.
But why not give him a run with even Soldado? Like we talked about Soldado earlier.
Because I think if you give him a run, we'll lose. We'll be even worse.
Why?
Because he's bang average.
Disagree.
Andrew McGivern.
We will see.
Andrew McGivern, I disagree with him. Pressing everything. Is anyone else looking forward to seeing more of Kane? There you go.
Go ahead, Andrew.
Bobby, when Eddie goes to the Africa Cup. So, Andrew McGivern completely can't stand Adebayor or Townsend, but he loves Kane and Soldado. Gerard Tapman, to what extent do you think 4-2-3-1 is a formation that makes our play too narrow? Would you change it now? Yeah, we've already said 4-4-2. Peter Brown, do you not think we should start Kane more? You think we should? Sasha Blythe, do you think about Soldado? So we talked about that. What else we got? Refereeing, complaints, all the rest of it. We've had those. Yeah, so that's about it, really. Look, you know, let's have final thoughts on the top three. Adebayor, I think, completely and utterly the opposite to 90% of Spurs fans, in my opinion, is that he does put himself about a bit. He does, in most of the games, get involved. He's a presence up there. He's a nuisance. He does not score enough goals. Absolutely 100% agree with that. But I still think he adds so much to the team, and he's still my first choice striker. Now, in saying that, I would have him with somebody else. Last year we saw him a lot with Kane. I didn't think that worked because I think Kane's bang average. Not a bad player, but I just don't think he's good enough at the moment. Might be good in years to come. Soldado, on the other hand, I think is a quality class player who I think is terrible on his own, but could be good with a big old lump there up there, and up there with him. And I think Adebayor or Soldado would, if they gel and if they, you know, give them six games, you two, the next six games you've got, see how you get on. I'd love to see that.
Yeah, and I wouldn't disagree with that. So when and everybody knows, I love Adebayor. I love Adebayor as well. So do, and I really do. Seen him live loads of times, and you're right. When you're there, you see this guy works hard. The only thing I would say about whenever I've seen Adebayor and Soldado play together, Adebayor drifts. He drifts very much out to the wings.
Very rarely have we seen him play together. Very rarely.
But if you think about this, Steve, when they play together, you see Adebayor, because Soldado's in there, he'll then go out to the wings to get the ball.
Yeah, but have you ever seen him start a match? You know, when two strikers start a match, they kick off, give each other high fives. I've never seen that. I've seen him come on. I've never seen him start.
We're still, and I said it at the beginning of the show, we're not good enough up front, Steve, no matter who plays. End off. And it needs sorted out.
Why don't we stick Townsend up there?
I would play Townsend. I would give Townsend a run of games. Stick him out the wing. Bring Aaron Lennon. You know, it isn't working. It's boring. It's negative. Stick Lennon on the left wing. Stick Townsend on the right and have a go for it.
And Lamella? Give him a rest?
Still play him in there.
Play Lennon, Townsend and Lamella.
Why not? Or White Hart Lane against Newcastle. Have a go.
You might.
Do you want to stick
one of my girls in there as well?
Stick anybody in there.
Go on, Tiote. Have a nice day.
Just go for it. Let's go out. Entertain us. We're White Hart Lane. Let's have a go for it.
So you're having a midfield, right, of Lennon, Townsend, Lamella and Ericsson.
Yep. With Kapuye behind them.
Oh! And who up front?
Yeah, because he's one up front. If I had to put my money on the line, I'd play Adebayor.
Oh, well, alright, that's not too bad. So four attackers with Adebayor and then Kapu.
Yeah. Kapu's your one holding, and then you have Lennon Townsend on the wings, with Ericsson in the middle with Lamella, and Lamella's the link man with Adebayor.
Yeah, that's quite good, actually.
Steve, I haven't coached football for 10 years for the fun of it. Actually, I should get the job over there.
By the way, that's never happening. We're playing two central defensive midfielders and...
I know. Anyway. Well, it's going to be very negative.
Now, we'll beat Newcastle 3-0.
I tell you what, Steve, if I did get the job, I'd even give the Spurs poet a role at the club.
Would you?
We always need someone to clean boots.
He's too busy now. He's too busy. Yeah. He's having a little kiddie.
He'd have his poems all over the tunnel and things. Yeah. So he would, you know, because he's so famous.
Anyway, mate, as a final thought, have no fear. The drum's back on Thursday.
Oh, is it?
So the glory days return.
Well, happy days. That's one thing I'm really pleased about. We need... I've always said about the drum. I love the drum.
Yeah.
Is it allowed there on Sunday?
I don't know. The sarcasm in my voice obviously didn't come across there.
It's because you're an old boar sitting up there in the West Stand. Get the drum. get a drum in each stand. You should become the West Stand drummer.
I'm up in the West Stand with all the guys that have been going for 50 years.
Yeah. Well, maybe you just need a drum in the middle of you.
Anyway, mate, I will catch you down the road.
Yes, 5-0, by the way, I'm going this week.
Are you?
5-0 the Spurs if he plays my team.
All right. Come on, you Spurs.
Come on.